26th, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, for a meditation, let us turn to our Bibles. We'll stay with the theme of Christmas today, because we have just finished Christmas, right? And let's keep it simple. Let's look at the most common thing that we know about Christmas, right? The nativity scene, isn't it? We all know the nativity scene. So what we will do is, from Luke as well as Matthew, right? Let's call out some of the nativity scene characters, okay? Who will be there in the around the crib, or when we celebrate nativity, or when we talk about Christmas. Who are some of the people whom we talk about? Let's start with Joy. Joy? Nativity scene, who is the first person you remember? Nativity play. Other than Mary and Jesus, okay? Leave Mary and Jesus. We'll come to them last. But shepherds. Okay, all right. Good. Yes. So we know about the shepherds, and what was this thing? They were all in a place, and they were afraid, and the angel Gabriel comes and tells them the good news, right? And what did the angel Gabriel tell them? Good news. But first, what is his first word? Do not be afraid, right? That is the first word that angel Gabriel talks to the shepherds, right? Okay. So who is the other person? Let each one of us pick one character, and then we can just go through that. No, leave the angels out. let's talk about human beings. Angels, they are meant to praise God, so they will do their job, right? But let's talk about human beings who have been given a free will and who decide whether to praise God or not to praise God, right? So angels are different from that point of view, right? So let's look at human beings, okay? Who are the other human being characters around? Come on, Nitesh, you know the nativity. Sorry? Yeah, the three kings, or what we call as the wise men, magi, right? Okay, so we call them. So let's talk about them, right? Now, actually, the Magi come actually a lot after, frankly speaking, in the history. If you look at it, is probably after about maybe even 4 or 5 days or whatever, no? Because they had to travel almost thousands of miles, and at that time there were no air-conditioned cars and flights to take them, so they walked. So who are they? Do we know who are they? Do we really know who are they? No, not much is told about them, right? But there are some people who have done the studies on them, and they really believe that these people could be, astronomers, people who study the stars and the formation of the universe and all the constellations and all that stuff, right? And Their interest got aroused primarily because they saw the star, a new star coming up, and they wanted to really investigate as to where is that star, why is that star come about, and things like that. Then of course they studied the history and found that okay, this is the prophecy and this could be the case, and that's how the Magi came to see Jesus and Jesus and worship them, right? So that is Magi, the three kings or wise men, as we call them, right? Who else is the other characters?
Joseph,
right? Very interesting. Yeah. Joseph, we, of course, in the nativity scene, nativity play, we depict him as a... But then, look at it from his point of view, okay? Let's look at it from his point of view. What was his situation? Here he is, engaged to a lady. He hasn't had union with her. And he finds out that she is pregnant, right? And this is the old Hebrew time, when the punishment for... pregnancy out of wedlock is stoning to death. It is the it's a form of adultery which required stoning to death. That's the, you know, and so here he is. He loves this girl, very young girl, and then he suddenly finds that, you know, that she is with a child. And he is now, as a human being, he is left with options. What should he do? You know, he can let the world know that he had no hand in it and let her be stoned to death. Or he can marry her, and then, as the Bible says, he was seriously considering quietly divorcing her, so that, you know, she is still saved, but at least, you know, he doesn't have to go on with this this thing. Okay, so that was this thing. So we'll come to what happened, you know, little later, right? So who is the other? So I'm just now right setting up the characters, right? And then we will see what was their reaction, and, you know, and then things like that, right? So who else? Who else is the other characters that we can think about? Nativity scene. Sorry? The innkeeper, right? Yeah, of course. Yes, the innkeeper who didn't who said, okay, look, there's no place for you all here, right? I mean, again, from his point of view, that was the fact. People are already come. It's a huge census going on. The place is full. He can only, you know, he has only a limited number of rooms. You know, he has already filled it up with other people. So what do we do? I mean, he doesn't have any other, you know, opportunity. So he said, sorry, no place. Find your own way. But he was kind enough to say, okay, look, but if, since I see you are full with the child, so okay, here is, you know, the cattle shed if you want to, right? So that is the innkeeper, right? Who else? Who else do we think about? Luke 1:2, Matthew, 2. Who else do we think about? The nativity scene. Just before, how does Luke start? Luke's narration, you know, what is Luke 1? Who does he speak about first? Actually, Luke is the one who doesn't speak about Jesus or his birth first, but he talks about John the Baptist. Yeah, and John the Baptist, because John the Baptist came to announce Jesus Christ, right? And how does that story start? Who is the first person who is mentioned in Luke's narrative? Zechariah, right. Now, who is Zechariah? Yeah, he is the father of John the Baptist. Yes, of course. But otherwise, who is he? He is a priest. Okay. Now, as a priest, one would assume that he knew the Torah, he knew the prophecies, he knew about everything and all that, right? And now suddenly he is faced with this somebody standing in front of him and saying that you're going to have a child. So, you know, haven't we heard this before? Have we heard this before?
Yes.
We have heard this in the Abraham story. And what was Abraham's reaction?
How can I?
Right. What is Zechariah's reaction? It is exactly the same, right? How can I be sure? Time has gone by. You know, how can I be sure? What are you telling? You know, I don't know. I don't know whether it is true or not. Actually, if you study the Bible, you will see that it is not only Abraham and Abraham. There are many other people who have questioned. Sarah has questioned. Moses has questioned God. Gideon has questioned God. Many people have questioned God. God, how can we be sure, you know, what you're saying is true? How can we be sure that it is you who is telling me? I mean, Gideon went to the extent, right? Gideon really went to the extreme of putting out the fleece and, you know, and all that stuff, right? So this is a priest who says, look, how can I be sure that what you're saying is true? How can I be sure that, no, you can do something, right? Okay, who else? Who else do we remember in the nativity play? There's a villain in the nativity play. Ah, yes. How can we forget him, right? There has to be a villain in the story, isn't it? Right. So, King Herod, right? Now, what was he? He was actually, yeah, the king, and he was the Roman appointed king of the Jews, actually. You know, he was sort of the person who was appointed by the Romans to be the king of Jews. And now he hears that there is another king going to be born. Right? That is what the Magi come and tell him that, you know, that there is somebody else who is going to be the king of Jews who is born. So what is his reaction? Yes. He is seized with this insecurity, right? He is seized with insecurity, and he deals with it the only way he knows how to deal with it, you know. Annihilate every firstborn child or every male child who is born in the past 1 week or 2 weeks or whatever is the history say, right? So that's his reaction to the, you know, the whole thing. Now let's come back and look at, you know, each of them. How so what I wanted to think about is, what was each of these people's approach to Jesus? Right? I mean, of course, Jesus is the center of the nativity play, right? And but before we go there, let's also talk about Mary. When is Mary introduced, and what is the first thing that is told to Mary? Do not be afraid, right? So that is a theme that you will find multiple times. It is told to Moses, it is told to Joshua, it is told to Abraham, it is told to everyone. I mean, Zechariah, it is told to the shepherds, it is told to Mary. Do not be afraid, right? So that's a theme that we will find all over. And then what is Mary's reaction when this news is told to her? The same as that of Joseph. How can it be? How could it be, right? And then, of course, when it is explained, Mary understands and, you know, and moves ahead. So let us look at this. What is each one's approach towards Jesus? How do they approach Jesus, or how do they approach the first Christmas? How do they approach Jesus as such, right? Let's look at Herod. What's his intention in seek? He also sought Jesus. He wanted to find out where Jesus is, right? I mean, he even asked the Magi to come back and tell him, if you find the child, come back and tell me so that, you know, I can go and worship him. That's what he's told the Magi, right? But what is his actual motive in seeking Jesus?
He wanted to get rid of the congregation.
Right. And so Herod, we see, is one person who was actually seeking Jesus for very, very selfish reasons, for his own benefit, for his own security, for his own position and things like that. No? So that is Herod's approach to Jesus, right? Now, what is the shepherd's approach to Jesus? Yes. The shepherd's approach is to go worship him. So let us see what the angel has told is right. And and then to go worship him. And after worshiping him, what was there to go and tell the others. Right? So that is possibly a different approach to Jesus. Right. Let's talk about Zechariah. What's his approach? Doubt, right? And give me one more proof. How can I be sure? Right? Show me some sign so that I can be sure. Right? So, and this is again, we will see this being said many times in the Old Testament also, you know. Give me one more proof. Give me another this thing. And what happens actually? The angel strikes him down. Okay? You want proof? Here is your proof. You can't speak anymore, right? Till this is fulfilled. Okay, so is that proof enough for you? So that is for challenging God, right? So his approach is, give me more proof. Give me more, you know, more things, more proof, more evidences so that I can believe in this miracle. I can believe in the Savior and things like that, right? Who else have you left out? The Magi, okay? Let's talk about the three wise men. What was their approach to Jesus? They wanted to worship him. They wanted to, they wanted to really bring him gifts, right? And history also, you will see that after the first Christmas, they are never mentioned again, right? So is it also possible that their interest in Jesus was purely academic? To find out whether the prophecies were true, whether the star was correct, and you know, we have sighted the star, so we have now experimented and found my job is over, that I have established the cause of the star, right? So sort of, you know, clinical or academic interest, you know, in this. Of course, they worshiped the king and, you know, went back. What was Joseph's approach to Jesus? So Joseph, like we said, Joseph had two choices, right? He had two choices. Of one is to leave her and let her be stoned, or honorably divorce her so that, you know, she is saved, but again, you know, not to live with that thing. And then what happens is God comes. Yes, he gets a dream in which God comes and tells him about the third alternative, which is God's plan, and he accepts God's plan. Right, so that is Joseph's this thing, right? Who else have we left out? Have we left out anyone? Did we cover everyone? Innkeeper, right? And of course, we don't know what happened after the child is born. The history doesn't tell us. But obviously, you know, his approach continuously was, look, you know, I'm too busy. There are too many people around me. Everything, you know, all rooms are full. I don't have place for you, right? So that is his approach, right? And what is Mary's approach? What is Mary's approach? How does Mary ultimately approach this news about the first Christmas?
It's a responsibility.
Yeah, it is a responsibility. And how does she approach it? Yes, I am your
servant.
I am your servant. Let it be it unto me as per your wish or your plans, right? So I am your servant. Let it be it unto me as per your will, right? So that was Mary's approach. Now let's take a moment to think about our approach to Christmas. 2,000 years later, how do we approach Christmas? What is our approach to Christmas?
In some situation, the same house there in our mind.
Yeah, right? How many of us still ask God, how do I believe you? How do I know that you have a plan for me? How do I know that you will resolve my problem? How do I know that, you know, that you have good things in store for me? How many times do we ask, like Zechariah did, like Moses did, like Gideon did, right? How many times do I ask God, give me one more proof, give me one more evidence, you know, show me one more miracle, give me one more gift so that I can believe in you? Do we do this? We often do this, isn't it? Right? So are we waiting to be dumbstruck like Zechariah did to believe in God? Isn't Jesus' birth and his life and his ministry enough for us to, you know, believe in God and in his plan of salvation? Right? That's or are we like Herod? Are we like Herod? Are we approaching Jesus for selfish reasons? I mean, Christianity probably still is the, you know, it could still be considered the elite religion in India at least, right? You know, are we celebrating Christmas, or are we happy to be called Christians because it is elite, because it is, you know, it's a good religion to follow because it is Westerners follow that religion? Or is it something else? Are we seeking Jesus with selfish motives for ourselves? Right? That is what Herod did, for example. Okay? Or are we like the Magi who basically the instances that is shown here doesn't tell us that, you know, they were keenly seeking salvation or whatever it is. They were basically seeking proof of what the academic, you know, interest. So are we approaching, you know, Christmas with a clinical approach, with an academic interest of, you know, whatever is going on? Or are we approaching Jesus like the shepherds did, where we say, look, I heard a news. I know, I came and saw, I know that it is true. Now, let me go and tell others about this good news. That's the other approach that we could take. Or could be, could we look at Joseph's response, saying that, okay, look, God, humanly I know that this is what is possible, but God, you have shown me a different plan. You have shown me a different way of approaching God and knowing that He is there, right? Or we could go to the real extreme and be like Mary and say, God, I know that it is impossible, but I know that there is nothing impossible for you. So I am your servant. Be it unto me as per your will, Lord. These are all responses to Christmas that is open to us, right? And God has given us that free will to choose. We can choose any response that we want to, right? We can choose any response that we want to. So shall we examine ourselves and see if God will lead us to the correct approach this morning? Let's pray. Let's in silence examine our hearts and see what is our approach to Christ. What is our approach to the first Christmas, or the Christmas 2000 years after, where we know that Jesus has come for us, Jesus lived for us, died for us, and He is sitting on the throne on the right hand of God the Father, and He will come again to redeem all of us. Let's examine ourselves and see what is our approach to Jesus. Do we continue to question Him? Do we continue to ask Him for more evidence and more miracles? Do we doubt Him? Do we seek personal gains from Him? Or do we accept Him as God's plan for us? Accept Him as our personal Savior. Accept Him and approach Him in all humility, like Mary did, and say, I am your servant. Be it unto me as per your will, Lord. Be it unto me as per your will. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the handful of us who could join together, Lord, to worship you and to praise you and to meditate on your word, especially as we close this Christmas season and as we think over the nativity play, think over the people around the crib, and examine our own approach to you and to Jesus and to the Christmas, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your presence here, Lord, because we trust and believe, Lord, that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. You are there. So we ask you for your touch on each one of us, especially the ones who are needing that touch, Lord. We thank you for being with us and comforting us and sending us away, Lord, with your assurance that you are with us. And the repeated assurance that you gave to many people, Lord, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So help us, Lord, not to be afraid as we go out from here, not to be afraid to face the challenges that are outside these four walls, not to be afraid, Lord, to face the trials and temptations that may come into our lives. Not to be afraid, Lord, to face the issues, whether it is physical, mental, spiritual, or financial.
or family, or regarding the families. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid. Help us, Lord, to cling on to you and know that you have beautiful plans for us, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the presence of the Holy Spirit go with us both now and forevermore.
Second rowdy. Hi. I'll big rowdy or small rowdy? What happened? I come quiet.